Well, folks, we're outside here, the new building, and we're going to ask our builder, Mr. Gordon Patterson from Gordon Patterson and Sons, to say a few words and then present the key to the moderator, Dr. Ron Johnson, to open this building for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mr. Johnson, it gives me great pleasure to hand the key over to the door of the new church hall complex. And our prayer would be that this door would be the doorway for many souls to come to Christ, and that will not lose focus of what the building is through this aesthetics, and that we would focus more on its purpose. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. In the great name of the only King and Head of the Church, our Lord Jesus Christ, and by that authority given to me by the General Presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, it gives me great pleasure to declare this complex officially open for the use of Ballygowan congregation and to the glory of God, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
We'll move inside now and unveil the plaques. Gives me great pleasure to introduce our moderator, Dr. Ron Johnson, who has just opened this building for the preaching of the word and the presentation of the gospel. We're going to ask Dr. Johnson to unveil the first plaque here on this particular building.
It reads, "This stone was unveiled on the occasion of the opening of the church hall complex by myself, moderator of presbytery, on the 15th of January. Whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31.
Well, as minister of the congregation, it gives me particular pleasure to unveil this plaque at the opening of this beautiful new complex here in Ballygowan. It reads, "This stone was unveiled on the occasion of the opening of the church hall complex by myself, 15th of January 2010. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. And as Gordon said at the outset, the purpose of this building is the salvation of souls. We could look at the beauty of the building, and it is beautiful, I think you'll all agree, but the main purpose is the salvation of souls. That's what we're about here in Ballygowan, the preaching of the gospel and the salvation of precious souls. It was on this day 41 years ago I was saved by the grace of God, the 15th of January 1969, when God saved me as a boy of 11. Now, you all know my age, so that will please some who've been trying to find it out. But we trust the Lord will bless us on this occasion. We're going to ask Mr. Hugh Garrett, our clerk of session, to come now and unveil the final plaque, please.
It's a very real pleasure for me to unveil this plaque. I do so on behalf of the session, the committee, and the congregation of the church here. It's a special day for us, the opening of our church hall complex. From small beginnings in 1975, the work began here. In 1982, we opened the church building, and so it is really a pleasure to be now extending the premises and opening the church hall complex. The text chosen on the stone here is, "For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." That is an encouragement to prayer, to remember that the Lord has not forsaken those who seek his face. And that is found in Psalm number 9 and the verse 10.
Dr. Barnes is going to lead us in prayer.
Let us unite together in prayer. Almighty God and eternal Heavenly Father, as we bow before thee just now, thank you, Lord, that we come in the precious name of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Father, we rejoice that we come on this occasion with thanksgiving. And Lord, as a congregation and as a people, Lord, we can say the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And Lord, we remember the words of Job when it was said, "Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end shall greatly increase." And we thank you, Lord, for the day, Father, when the gospel mission was held and precious souls were saved, and for the ministry of the men of God who have gone before. Thank you, Lord, for each minister and their contribution to the work. And we thank you, Lord, for this further extension, Lord, through the labours of this congregation. And we do pray, Lord, that this building will be used and set apart for thy glory. And, Lord, that thy great name will be exalted in everything that is said and done. We do pray, Father, that you'll bless the minister and the elders and the session and minister's wife. And grant, Lord, that thou wouldst bless them and encourage them. And grant, Lord, that as they step forward into the future, it may be the Lord working with them with signs following. Lord, bless us tonight. And grant, Lord, that as this building has been dedicated to thy glory, even as Solomon dedicated the temple, that the glory of the Lord will come and fill the house, and it will know the presence of the Lord Jesus in our midst. Answer prayer, for we ask it in our Savior's precious name. Amen.
Do we go up on the platform?
Platform party. choir for ministering to us in song. We'll be hearing from them later in the service. Could I welcome you all to this special service of thanksgiving to the Lord for all the Lord hath done for us here in Ballygowan. Not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. We desire the Lord to have all the glory tonight and in days that are to come. We're going to stand and sing the first psalm on the order of service, Psalm 100, first version. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him serve with mirth, his praise forth tell. Come ye before him and rejoice. Ballygowan is known for its great singing, and we trust that that will be really so again tonight, that we really sing unto the Lord and give praise unto his name as we stand together, please. Ministry of Reverend David McLevine, the minister of our Sandown Church, that this church was formed through an evangelistic mission, through the evangelist labors of the Lord's servant, and of course it became a daughter church of our Sandown Road Free Presbyterian Church. Delighted to have Mr. McLevine here tonight. He's going to lead us in prayer, and then immediately after that, the first minister of the congregation here. We're delighted to have him also, Reverend William Whiteside. He will come and he will read to us from the Scriptures of Truth. Mr. McAfee.
Could I just take a moment to express a very warm and sincere word of congratulations to the minister and to the session and committee and members of Ballygowan. It is a tremendous evening for you, and I suppose from the start in 1975, Many memories now come back to us. And I think of the Hutchison family, the very kind and generous gift of this ground for the advancement of God's work, and many others whom the Lord has called to be with himself. Well, we do think of them very fondly at this time. If I could use the expression, they would have been proud of you all. Let's unite our hearts together, please, as we pray. Our gracious, loving Father, we draw nigh to thee, knowing that as we do so, we come in the full merits of our blessed Saviour. We thank thee that we do not need to labour for some achievement to make ourselves right before thee. We bless thee that we have received from thy gracious hand the imputed righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that we stand in thy presence. We stand in the very presence of purity, knowing that we are accepted in the Beloved, that the precious blood that has been shed has sealed our redemption, and we can talk to thee as a man talketh to his friend. We thank thee for thy salvation, for everyone that is gathered in this building tonight, who can look back, as Mr. Smiley could look back those years ago, to that moment when they were wonderfully and gloriously saved. Father, we acknowledge there is nothing more precious to us than to know that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But we thank thee too for that gracious call to our hearts to separate on to the gospel. And we praise thee particularly for this congregation at this time. We thank thee for all who have labored in the past, for those kind and thoughtful and generous people who did all that they could to make sure that a witness in thy name would be established here. We thank thee, our Father, as our memory would even visualize them now, that they are part of that great cloud of witnesses. And we bless thee that they are encouraging us today to run the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Father, bless thy dear servant who will labor here, the office bearers, the members and friends of this congregation. We pray that every one of them will be much encouraged in the days that lie ahead. We pray that this building will be the birthplace of many people, that there'll be a great move amongst the young people of this area and further afield, that this building will be used continually to the glory and to the honor of our gracious God. Loving Father, we thank thee for thy presence tonight. We commend us to thee now and pray that thou would continue to speak. Bless all who will take part. Give them thy grace and give them thy help for our Saviour's sake. Amen.
For our scripture reading this evening, we're turning to the book of Genesis and the chapter 31, please. The 31st chapter of the book of Genesis. While you're turning to the place, may I just take the opportunity of congratulating you on the opening of your beautiful new hall and complex. It brings to my heart much joy and gladness and delight to see the continued progress of the work here in Ballygowan. Though we have left you some years now, would you believe it's 20 years ago this year, still the work here has always been upon our hearts. And we've watched it carefully over the years and rejoice in the ministry of your servant here and the progress that is being made. May the Lord continue to bless you in the days that lie ahead. May his prayer be answered and your prayers be answered. And may many souls be led to the Lord in this complex. We're taking up our reading tonight at the first 43 of the book of Genesis. It's a very long chapter, 55 verses. If you look at the opening verses, you'll find that Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, "Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory." And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the consequence was that Jacob rose up, took all that he had, and fled from Laban. And Laban discovered it. Verse 22, "And it was told Laban, on the third day that Jacob was fled, and he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey, and they overtook him in the Mount Gilead. And then, of course, there was quite a debate developed when they both met again. And we're reading from verse 43. And Laban answered and said unto Jacob, "These daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and these cattle are my cattle, and all that thou seest is mine. What can I do this day unto these my daughters and unto their children which they have borne? Now therefore, come thou, let us make a covenant, I and thou, and let it be for a witness between me and thee." And Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar. And Jacob said unto his brethren, "Gather stones." And they took stones and made an heap. And they did eat there upon the heap. And Laban called it Jigar Sahadjuhath. But Jacob called it Gilead, probably because he couldn't pronounce the other word. And I'm not going to try it again. If I didn't get it right, you can rectify it afterwards. But there we go. Of course, the two words mean the same thing. One is Chaldean, and the other is Hebrew. Verse 48, and Laban said, "This heap is a witness between me and thee this day." Therefore was the name of it called Galeed and Mizpah. For he said, "The Lord watch between me and thee when we were absent one from another. If thou shalt afflict my daughters, or if thou shalt take other wives beside my daughters, no man is with us, save God as witness betwixt me and thee." And Laban said to Jacob, "Behold this heap, and behold this pillar, which I have cast betwixt me and thee. This heap be witness, and this pillar be witness, that I will not pass over this heap to thee, and that thou shalt not pass over this heap and this pillar unto me for harm. The God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge betwixt us." And Jacob sware by the fear of his father Isaac. And Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount and called his brethren to eat bread, and they did eat bread, and tarried all night in the mount. And early in the morning Laban rose up and kissed his sons and his daughters and blessed them. And Laban departed and returned unto his place. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts tonight for his name's sake. Amen.
We're delighted to have our own ladies' group here, Ballygown Ladies' Group, and they're going to come minister in song. And then immediately after that, Dr. William McRae, we're delighted to have him along with us tonight. He's going to bring his first message in song. Ladies, please.
Oh, We're part of the family that's been born again. Part of the family, this love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us his own. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we think together how it will be when we all get to heaven as God's family. Brother meets sorrow, we all feel his grief. When he's passed through the valley, we all feel relief. Together in sunshine, together in rain, together sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry, sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs, sometimes we think together how it will be when we all get to God's family. And so some go before us, we'll all meet again inside the city where love knows no end. There'll be no more power. With Jesus we'll be together forever as God's family. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry, sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we think together how it will be when we all get to heaven as God's family.
Thank Dr. McCrae for that ministry and song. It's always a joy to have him here in Ballygowan with us. We appreciate that ministry from the ladies as well. This evening, it's always a blessing to our hearts to have our ladies sing with us and for us. Could I again just emphasize the welcome to you all tonight? There are people who have come from all arts and parts, both here and upstairs. And I think that we are absolutely at capacity tonight in this building, in both this main hall and upstairs as well. And we give thanks to the Lord tonight. To God be the glory, great things he had done. We're especially delighted to have our senior elder, Brother Willie Boyd, with us. Brother Willie and his wife were involved in an accident just before Christmas. But we're delighted that Willie and Lily are back with us tonight. And Willie was able to be there for the photograph prior to the opening of the building. We're delighted to see them out with us again. A special welcome to our moderator, Dr. Ron Johnson, and his wife, Mrs. Rima Johnson. We're delighted to have them here in our midst. Dr. McRae, of course, Reverend William Whiteside, and Reverend David McElveen, and to all the platform party, our deputy moderator, Dr. Lindsay Wilson, and all ministerial colleagues who are in the meeting tonight, we welcome you as well. Delighted also to have Pastor Ian Wilson from Sainfield Baptist Church and Pastor William Creighton from Killilea Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome them as well here to this special occasion in Ballygowan. And of course, to all from our former congregation in John Knox Memorial, we see some folk here tonight as well. We'd like to welcome, and those from all our congregations and from the community, people who have come tonight, and people who worked on the site. I'd just like to say a word to them, a word of special welcome to all who were involved in working on the site. I just say to you boys, you missed the chips the other day, for the minister bought them, but there you are. You were away, I'm sorry, but maybe later on, if you have come back to the church as we're doing it, you'll get the opportunity to put your arm into the minister on that occasion. But we're delighted to see you, and we trust the Lord will bless you on this occasion. And I think that all your workmanship is all for all to see. To family and close friends who have joined us on this occasion, we'd say a very special word of welcome as well. We're delighted to see Dr. John Douglas with us tonight, a former clerk of our presbytery. Welcome you, Dr. Douglas. Glad to see that you're well and fit and able to be out. And of course, you have a special link with Ballygowan. And we're delighted. We'll not try to pronounce Macroscus, or we've just pronounced it wrong. But that's a familiar one for you. But we're delighted to see you here tonight. Also, all our own folk here in Ballygowan who have worked so tirelessly during the last days. We appreciate your coming and your being here tonight. Our young people's choir, to Heather and Karen, who have worked tirelessly to put these young people through the pieces. We really appreciate that. And to the ladies and to Robert, our organist, for all their labours. Without them, really, all of this wouldn't come together as far as the praise aspect of it is concerned. But we thank you in the Lord's name. I'd like to thank the Barr family, who have been involved prior to the commencement of the service, playing the flutes, and they're gifted musicians, and we thank them also in the Lord's name. I'd like to apologize for the clerk of our presbytery, Dr. Ian Brown. He will be with us on Tuesday night, so if you wish to come back again, you will hear Dr. Brown then. But he has special meetings, prayer times in his own church, was unable to be here this evening because of that. And many have telephoned or written to say they could not be present this evening. Special words of greeting from our missionaries in Cambodia, Dave and Libby Morrison and family. I came in yesterday and I always seem to miss Dave. He must think I come in at a certain time to eat, and I usually don't, as is wont for ministers, but nevertheless, he telephoned to say a word of greeting to the folk in Ballygowan and to this special occasion, and he'll be thinking about us here tonight. Now, there are many things I have to say at this juncture, and I trust you will bear with me tonight. I want to say a word of particular thanks to our architect, Mr. Hadley Jess, for all his work, and want to thank you, Hadley, for your work. And we'd like you to, just if you could, Hadley, come forward and accept a little token of our appreciation of the work that you have done. I'd like to present you with a copy of the scriptures to mark this occasion, and thank you for all your patience
with our church committee, with our building committee, with the minister. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I'd like to say also a word of thanks to our builder, Mr. Gordon Patterson of Gordon Patterson and Sons. Gordon is one of our own here in Ballygowan. And I remember when we talked about this building, and it was the unanimous verdict of the committee, our church committee, that Gordon would be the man to build this complex. And not only that, but as we move forward to renovate our church building now, Gordon is moving forward into that as well immediately. So we're moving forward with that. But I'd like to thank Gordon. Gordon is an amicable person. He's a patient man. I'm sure he has his moments, but he certainly shows great patience, and did show great patience with our committee and building subcommittee. And we'd like to thank Gordon for the work that he has done. And Gordon, would you come forward and receive this little token of our love and our esteem? And it's a copy of the Word of God that has been suitably inscribed, Gordon, to mark this occasion. We'd like you to receive it. And thank you very much, Gordon, for all you've done.
Thank you.
And just don't go away a minute yet, because somebody saw you drilling last night and said, Gordon, do you not think there could be a wire behind that? So I know there's a lot of drilling to go on, so I hope you don't light up. Now, our building subcommittee has done a tremendous lot of work, and they will be still doing. Ladies, please, wives, please take note. There are still months ahead of work. I think the wives have arranged this, but no, seriously. We'd like to thank our building subcommittee, and we would like our brother Mervyn Barr, one of our committee members, to come forward, please. And we'd like the members of the subcommittee to take these little tokens as a token of appreciation, esteem from their other members of committee who have wanted you to know how much we appreciate the late nights. I just live beside here, and sometimes 1 o'clock in the morning, the lights were still on. I think the boys went straight to work or on the night shift or something. But we want to say to our brethren, on behalf of the other members of the committee and ourselves, that this work that has been done here is tremendous, and there's still work to be done, brethren. But we want to acknowledge you now and to say thank you. Mr. Hugard. Mr. Bill Stewart. Mr. James Pennison. Mr. David Clark. Mr. Billy Farr. Thank you, Mervyn. And thank you, brethren, for your work. It's not over. It continues. But we thank you in the Lord's name. I'd like to say a word of thanks to all the subcontractors. There's a list that you will have in there. I'm not going to read them all out, but I want to thank all those subcontractors for the work that they have done over, again, the building here that has been done. And also to the members of our church committee as a whole for their unanimous backing of this project. To the members and friends of Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church for the sacrificial giving to the Lord's work with regard to this project. Gifts and interest-free loans. We have received interest-free loans somewhere in the region of £200,000. And we thank you in the Lord's name for your interest, for your giving. We really appreciate it. And the people who have given directly as well to just giving gifts, we want to thank you as well. There are lots of items that have been donated. In fact, it comes to well over £20,000, items that have been donated. All the carpets, floor tiles in entrance hall and corridors, scripture texts and Bible etching in entrance hall, one of the I Am windows in the hall, plus gift towards others, burning bush etchings on the glass entrance doors, pulpit lecterns in main hall and prayer room, scripture text on the wall in main hall, audio mixing unit in main hall, window etchings at rear corridors, Ten Commandments etchings on stairs, kitchen utensils and appliances, chandelier and porch, banquet tables, curtains, water feature in entrance hall, all of this. We want to thank you for all of this giving and donations that have been made. We thank you in the Lord's name for all of this. And then, of course, we want to thank all those who came and cleaned the hall. There was a lot of cleaning went on this past week, and sometimes it was being undone as, you know, the cleaning process, and then, of course, somebody came in with dirty feet all over it, and it was had to be cleaned again and again and again, right up to this afternoon, late this afternoon. We want to thank those people involved in that, who tirelessly labored, both men and women, in that work. We want to thank you in the Lord's name for all the work. Of course, a word of thanks to our caretaker and her husband, Elizabeth and Robbie Catterson. Want to thank them, and we're adding to your workload, folk, but we know that you'll have the equipment now even better to do the job. To the Finance Committee of our Presbytery for all their time in examining these projects, for their interest-free loan as well. We want to pay tribute to our Presbytery and to the Finance Committee in particular. Also, we received a gift of a piano for the upstairs prayer room, and we've also received a keyboard as a gift as well. We want to thank you for that as well. Now, there are some other presentations that we want to just make at this particular juncture. We're going to ask Sharon Stewart if she would come forward and present Mrs. Johnston, the moderator's wife, with a little bouquet. We'd like one of our other elders' wives, Mrs. Valerie Steenson, to come present Mrs. Meta Patterson with a little bouquet at this particular time. Meta, you'd come forward. I'd like at this juncture to present to our moderator a little token of our love and esteem to mark this occasion, and we trust that the Lord will bless you as you minister amongst us tonight. Thank you for your ministry and encouragement in the past.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I think there is one other presentation that I have to make, and is John here tonight? John. It's the second name. It's yes, John, please. And the second name hasn't been written down before me. I can't remember it. But John, I know that you have been a very key person in all that we have been doing here and helping us, and we really appreciate it. We'd like you to come forward, accept this little token of our esteem and our appreciation. Thank you very much, John. Yes, go ahead.
Just wanted to say it's been a real privilege to get to know the people here, and especially the committee. The first time I met with them, it was a quarter past 12. It wasn't 1 o'clock. Quarter past 12 we got out, but I've really got to know them well since that. We're told in God's word to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Isn't this just a beautiful building? Absolutely beautiful. But the important thing isn't the building, of course, it's the people. And it's especially important that we are lovely people for the Saviour. Just pray that all of you are lovely people for him, because when he lives within your heart, he's the one who makes all the difference in a person's life. And just pray that in the years to come, that many will come to know the Saviour. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. And we trust that I'm just checking that I haven't left anyone out. And if I have, I apologize. But I want to say thanks to all who have in any way helped. And we appreciate that. Gordon Foster is another man I just want to mention. Gordon is not able to be here tonight, but by passing on a little token of our appreciation for the work that Gordon did and how he helped us. And we want to thank Gordon for the work that he done for us. And we'd like to pay tribute to Gordon Foster for that. There's just another person that I want to mention tonight. This building was greatly in the mind of the late James McBurney. James was called home just before we really got down on paper everything that we were going to do here. James had a great love for the. One of the last words that James said to me in the church, it was a Christmas a few years ago before he was called home. He said, "Mr. Smiley, it'll work out all right." And at that time, we were just in a bit of a quandary what to do. But James gave good direction and help. And he had great ideas. And Hadley was able to put them down in paper. And I want to pay tribute to James. It's a delight to have Irene here tonight. And, of course, the families in the congregation, Cecil and the family, are here with us in Ballygan. And to pay tribute to the late James McBurney and to all that he did to make this possible, what has come about here in this beautiful complex. And of course, James would say, "Don't mention me, give the glory to God." That's what he would say. And we must say, "To God be the glory, great things he has done." Now, a very important stage is the offering. And of course, we have gifts to commence the offering, totaling £3,095. We want to thank Sandown, Ballinahinch, Banbridge churches who have given gifts, others who have passed on gifts, and now is your opportunity. We told our own congregation we put off the building fund from the first Sunday of the month, which was January. So you've got all your credit cards paid, I hope, and then you can pay up tonight for the Lord, and bring our tithes and our offerings to the Lord tonight in a really good offering to the Lord's work. As I said earlier, this is just the first stage. We are now immediately moving into the building next door. Gordon is. We're moving out in here to worship, and Gordon and his team are moving in next door. And during the next 4 or 5 months, that building there will be transformed. And we're looking forward to that as well. So the expense goes on, but we're moving forward in the Lord's name. And I trust that you'll remember that in your giving tonight. Let us give liberally towards the Lord's work. The hymn is the second on the order of service. Church of God, beloved and chosen, Church of Christ, for whom he died, claim thy gifts and praise thy giver. Ye are washed and sanctified. We're keeping our seats, and the brethren will wait upon you for the offering.
Amen. want to say a word of thanks to my wife.
Amen.
Sometimes a minister's wife is forgotten, but I want to say a word of thanks to Vivian for all the help she's been to me and how she's stood with us, even through all this period of building project. And because at the end of the day, the buck stops with the minister. And of course, the minister's wife has to listen to all the complaints as well that we bring home. And I'd like to thank Vivian for her support in the work of the Lord here in Ballygan. I want to say a word of thanks to the ladies of the church. They have worked tirelessly today and other days as well, and they have provided supper. And you will see under your seat a bag with a plate, napkin and cup holder. But there's more. There's more. Please avail yourself of the same. Bear with us. Supper will be served as soon as possible. After Dr. Johnson preaches, of course. There's a wee while to go yet, but just reminding you about that. Once again, thanks to all who have participated. Dr. Wilson, sorry I should have brought you on sooner, but I know that you'll come on and you will give your greetings, and then immediately after that, Ballygan Youth Choir. In fact, when I was conducting a wedding recently in Ballygan, I started with the last hymn, and the girl who was getting married, she said, "Mr. Smiley, that's the last hymn." So you can imagine how nervous I am at them. But I got them married anyway. So we're going to stand and sing this last hymn, and this last verse, and then Dr. Wilson will come bring greetings, and then the youth choir will come immediately to sing. Thank you.
On behalf of the presbytery, we want to congratulate the church here in Ballygowan on this lovely building. I have some appreciation of the work involved. We opened a building in our own congregation in Castle Derg 5 years ago, and I'm sure by this time your minister is out of breath and out of energy, but it's a lovely building. We congratulate you, and we're delighted to see the work of God go on and go from strength to strength in Ballygowan. I remember 35 years ago now, I know I don't look that old, but 35 years ago I came to the Free Presbyterian Church, and that was a good year in my life. And I remember virtually every Saturday being bundled into the car. I was only a little fella at that stage, bundled into the car and taken all round the province and beyond. It was a stone laying or a sod cutting or an opening of a church or a hall or something. There were great days, and the Lord was blessing in a wonderful way. And it seemed as if virtually every Saturday, every other Saturday, we were going to these events just like tonight. And they were great days. And we pray that the Lord will bring us back to those days. I remember the plastic buckets as well. And some of you folks that lifted the offering tonight, maybe you could have done with them. And that's good. I remember in those days that there was great need for the finance, for all the different building projects. But you know, the Lord always finances his own work. And if you had money, you gave it. Because that's why the Lord had given you money, to meet the need of whatever the Lord's work had. There were great days. We rejoice with you tonight. And as a presbytery, we're delighted to see that these things still happen. What may not happen every week, may not happen every fortnight, but you know, it is a sign and seal that the Lord is still with us. Amen. That the Lord is still among us, and the Lord is still with his church in the midst of the church. And we take great joy tonight to see the work of God moving forward. And maybe in a few months' time, in the will of God, there'll be another occasion just like this. And we trust that the Lord will continue to bless you. When Ezra came back from Babylon to rebuild the temple, there were those, as they were laying the foundation of the Lord's house, and they remembered the former glory of that house. And as the foundation were laid, there were some, and they weren't happy. They remembered what it had been. And the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, and he said, "Despise not the day of small things." Now, I'm not saying this is a small thing here tonight, but as a presbytery, we're not seeing this as often. But you know, we're not to despise the day of small things. In the plan and providence of God, we're in a leaner time, yes, but I believe there are greater times to come. As I was driving up in the car, the verse that was running through my mind was the verse that, well, I don't know who chose it. I take it was our brother, that verse in Haggai 2:9. "The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts." And that was the answer to those who were despising the day of small things, that the Lord in the latter days would greatly increase the glory of his house. It is our prayer that the Lord will do just that. We need to press on. We congratulate you for what you've done, and we pray for you. The Lord will bless. That's the physical, and we have thought maybe of the physical here tonight, but the spiritual is so much more important. It is our prayer that this will be the birthplace of many precious souls. That's why the work was commenced at the start. Our brother, when he introduced our brother McElveen, it was a mission, and souls were saved, and the church established. It didn't start with a plot of ground. It didn't start with bricks and mortar. It started with the salvation of souls. And the work here will prosper and go from strength to strength as the Lord's people work and as they pray and as they seek to win souls for the Lord. The church is not the bricks and mortar. The church are the people of God. And we trust that that church will grow and extend in this part of the Lord's vineyard. The Lord has said in his word, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." When we think of the churches that were planted and built up in the early New Testament time, they were planted and they were built up in one of the most difficult times in all of history. The Romans were in power. At those times, the Romans were throwing the Christians to the lions in the amphitheaters of Rome. And at such a time, when there was such oppression everywhere, yet it was that time that the Lord marvelously worked and raised up a church and blessed it. So if you look around you today and you think we're in terrible times and the Lord can't bless, yes, he can. He did so. Paul's epistles are written in the midst of, often from prison. And the Lord always builds his church. And even in the most difficult of times, oftentimes those are the most fruitful. And those are the times of greatest blessing. May the Lord continue to bless you, and we look forward to hearing of the next stage in the months that lie ahead. God bless.
Amen.
Thank you, young people, again, for that beautiful ministry in song. It's good to see some former members as well with us tonight, folk who have moved away from Ballygan, but they have come back to their roots tonight. And we're delighted to see them, and we want to welcome them as well this evening. Now, could I just mention the Lord's Day? There are special services here, of course, continuing. 11:30, Reverend William Whiteside, Minister of Banbridge, the first minister of the church here in Ballygan, will be back with us to preach the Word of God at 11:30. And in the evening at 7, Dr. Wilson will come all the way from Castle Derg again to minister the Word on Sunday evening. Monday night, the Calvary Men's Choir from Macrofelt will be along to minister in song, special praise service with the Reverend Greenfield, ministering in song and bringing the Lord's Word. And you'll get supper again on Monday night, so don't forget about that. Then Tuesday night, there'll be a special visit of Dr. Ian Brown, the clerk of our presbytery, and he will speak on the subject, What Legacy Has Darwin Left Us? And he's dealing, of course, there with the subject of creation. And it's a PowerPoint presentation, very interesting subject. I trust you'll come along again on Tuesday at 8 o'clock. And, of course, you're welcome if you're from the local community around about. You're welcome any Lord's Day, 11:30 and 7, meeting in this building during the next number of months. And the Sunday school and Bible classes meet on Sunday morning at 10, and times of prayer before the services as well. Do remember that. And we hope to utilize this hall, as Gordon said outside, and he was saying this to me earlier today. You know, it's a beautiful building to look at, but it's not the beauty of the building. It's what it's utilized for. And we want to utilize it fully for the Lord's name and for His glory. We're delighted to have our moderator with us, Dr. Ron Johnson. And after Dr. McRae brings his final message in song, Dr. Johnson is the minister of our Newtownards congregation, and some of the folk from Newtownards are here tonight as well. Welcome them. And Mr. Johnson is going to come after Dr. McRae and bring the Lord's word to us.
Are you looking for one way leads
Turning for a text to the book of Genesis, chapter 49. Chapter 49, please. One text of Scripture for tonight. While you're turning to it, could I say it's a joy to be here tonight with Alan and Vivian, or I should say the Reverend and Mrs. Smiley. And we do congratulate them and the office bearers, members, for your foresight and faith, for your dedication and determination to unite under the Lord to see this building erected. My, what a legacy you're leaving for the young people. And it's so good to hear the young people and to see so many of you here tonight. And I trust tonight you'll appreciate the great sacrifice that the older members of the congregation, indeed your parents, have made and are making to see this complex erected. I feel greatly honored to preach here tonight. The stone that we unveiled just a little bit earlier had the text from 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Now tonight, we do congratulate, we do commend you in Ballygowan for this beautiful complex, but we come together tonight to glorify the Lord. The church is not about us. The church doesn't exist to glorify man. It's not about our ego. It's not about us. It's about Him. And tonight, in the final moments, as we turn to the Word of God, we want to give Him all the praise, give Him the glory due unto His name. And here at the official opening of this complex, we want to take time by listening to His Word and preaching His Word to adore Him. Now, we glorify God in everything we do. That was the point of the text upon the stone. Whether you eat or drink, the rest of the verse says, do all to His glory. But we glorify Almighty God when we talk about God the Son and His work of redemption. And that's what we're going to focus upon tonight. Paul, the apostle, the great missionary and theologian, he said, God forbid that I should glory save except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's draw our thoughts to the Savior. We're at Genesis 49, down the chapter in verse 24. Jacob is coming to the end of his life. And in verse 24, look what he says, speaking to his son Joseph. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands. Now, note these tremendous names of God. Of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. I wonder, could I ask you to stand just for a short word of prayer? Let's just stand together, please. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for all that has gone before already. But, O Lord, as we turn to Thy Word, we need Thy help. Lord, we pray that Thou would enable us to focus our attention upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, no matter where we open Scripture, we see the Savior. We pray now that He would be glorified in this service, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. It was my privilege and honor to speak at the sod cutting service about a year ago. And I spoke about the character called Jacob. How Jacob, after 30 years after having erected a pillar, taking a stone upon which he slept, he came back to the same place 30 years later and built again. Put up another stone. And of course, you were starting to build again in the same location here in the site. And now we're here for this completed building. I was asked, of course, by your minister to pick a text for a stone to unveil. And I've been thinking about stones, and it struck me thinking about stones. And I thought of this great title that Jacob gave to his Lord as he came to die. Remember, he's looking at his 12 sons. These are his dying words. And he says, boys, the stone of Israel. I'm relying upon Him. What an unusual title. And then he began to think of this. You can tell the life story of Jacob by stones. By stones.
At various times in his life, he put up stones as markers to remind him of important events. But not only do those stones remind us of events in Jacob's life, they do remind us of the Lord Jesus Christ, because one thing we need to emphasize again and again is the false view that many have today that if you want to read about the Lord Jesus Christ, you read about the Gospels, whereas the Old Testament, that's about Israel and stories about great characters. No, the whole Bible is about Christ. And in the stones in Jacob's life, you see pictured, foreshadowed, illustrated the work that Messiah was going to come into the world to do. We look back to that great event of Calvary. We'll see Calvary. So let me very quickly go through some stones in Jacob's life. The first one is in chapter 28. And you'll read there in verse 18 and 22 that Jacob took a stone. He had slept upon that stone as a pillow. And it said he erected it. He poured oil upon it. He set it up as a marker. He set that stone. That's the stone of redemption. That night, he met the Lord. And he put that stone and he set it upright. Why? Because it was a solemn yet a joyful occasion. It's as if he's saying, I never want to forget tonight, for I've met the Lord. You see, he is fleeing from home, about 40 years of age. There he is in the desert. He's surrounded by desert. He's shrouded in darkness. He's sentenced to death. Picture of us without Christ. His brother swore to kill him. And he's there all alone. And he puts his head upon the pillow. And during the night he dreams. Now, by the way, tonight, don't you say, I wish I had a dream. God would speak to me in a dream. You have something better in the Bible. You have the Bible. But that night, God spoke to him by a dream. That's how he did it in those days before we had a Bible. And God revealed to him there was a great gulf between heaven and earth. And there was a ladder that united the two. And he saw angels ascending and descending. And when he awoke, he said, God is in this place. And then the Lord spoke to him. The Lord said, Jacob, I will, I will, I will. You can read about it in chapter 28. Here's the point. You see, in that vision of the ladder, Jacob saw the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, oh, now come on, Mr. Chanson, you're reading into Scripture. No, I'm not. For in the New Testament, John 1, verse 51, the Lord Jesus Christ himself quoted it and said he's talking about him. You shall see the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. What did Jacob see in his dream? He realized that God is absolutely holy. You and I are sinners. How can we ever come into the presence of a holy God? Men will try the ladder of religiosity, the ladder of ritual, the ladder of their own righteous works, but you can never do it. But thank God that gulf of sin that separates me from a holy God, that gulf has been bridged in Christ. That's the gospel. God the Son, he came down to earth from heaven. God the Son. He came down to this earth and he became man. And he went to that cross. Why did he die on the cross? He died on the cross that he might bring us to God. By dying on the cross and he paid the price of sin, it says in Hebrews, he opened the way into heaven. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the ladder. You can come to God tonight through Christ. We're going to sing later, Come to the Father. Through Jesus the Son. Now, you read Genesis 28, and it's quite clear what I'm saying. You know, at the first, when he put his head in the pillow, do you know what the name of that place was? Luz. That word means separation. I was separated from God. You know, when you get up in the morning, I'm changing the name of this place. I'm not going to call it separation anymore. I'm separated from God. Every one of us is. Every person is separated from God by our sin. But when he got up in the morning, he said, God's here. I'm calling it Bethel, the house of God. And he said, this place has become the very gate of heaven. And thank God tonight in this complex, you can come to the very gate of heaven. We're in a beautiful building and we congratulate you. But you know, the wonderful thing is this, the Lord Jesus Christ is here tonight, the same Savior that Jacob saw that night. And thank God tonight, There may be some here and you've never met the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen, tonight, it's our prayer God will reveal Him to you. You can come to God through Christ. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. So Jacob set up a stone, a marker, to remind himself of the night he found redemption in Christ. But let's jump forward to chapter 31 that was read for us. This is not as a well-known story, and it contains sort of strange customs in it. And I call this the stone of reconciliation. The stone of reconciliation. And by the way, in chapter 31 and verse 54, then Jacob offered sacrifice on the mount and called upon his brethren to eat bread. And they did eat bread and tarried all night. Not a good verse for our supper? And I'm not going to tarry all night before you get it. The deputy moderator is whispering to me that he was at an opening in a church, one of our churches. It was 3.5 hours. So that means I have 2 hours to preach. No, it's not. It will not be that long. But they tarried all night eating. And you're going to eat in this hall. And I'm sure you'll have dinners and teas and snacks. And I just hope the caretaker will say, you're not going to tarry all night, go home. But it's good to have a place to fellowship together in meals. The New Testament church, Acts 2, they ate their food with gladness. It's good for God's people to fellowship together and have the facilities to do it. But what's happening in this chapter? I'm glad that the Reverend Whiteside took the trouble to explain some of the background to you. You see, Jacob had run away from his father-in-law and taken some herds. He claimed they were his. Laban said, they're not, they're mine, and so on. There was enmity. There was conflict. And Laban has chased after Jacob, and they're together now, and they're arguing. Now, they're behaving like enemies, though they were in-laws, they're behaving like outlaws. Now, how are they going to be reconciled? You see, both of them, sadly, at this time, were very devious men. How are they going to be able to trust each other? How will they be reconciled? Well, verse 44 tells you, now, therefore, come now, let us make a covenant. Now, what's a covenant? Covenant's a solemn promise. You see, here's a covenant. Here's what they did. They swore an oath. That's what a covenant is. It's more than simply saying, I'll do something. It's giving a solemn undertaking before God. It's a man or two men solemnly promising. And in the custom of that day, what did they do? Well, they made a sacrifice in verse 54. They offered sacrifices, literally, in the margin of your Bible, it may say, they killed animals. You see, the different ceremonies in Old Testament times. And when two men wanted to make a solemn, binding treaty, and to be sure that the other person was not going to lie or break it, they would make that covenant, that swear an oath before God. And they would take animals, and it was called cutting a covenant. Cutting a covenant. They would cut the animals in two. They would pass between them. What they were saying was, oh God, if I do not keep my word, may this happen to me. May I know your judgment upon my life. That's how they swore an oath. In the Old Testament times, they were calling upon God to judge them if they wouldn't keep their promise. And this is what's happening here. But I want you to notice blood was shed. Animals were sacrificed. But not only do you have the sacrifice and the swear and the oath, look at verse 45. They set up a stone. What's the stone? They're putting a solemn marker and saying, this stone will be enduring and lasting. And our covenant will last. We'll keep it. And the stone was a witness. And then they sat down in the verses we mentioned in 54 and they ate together. It wasn't simply just eating because they were hungry. Do you know in the Middle East to this day among Arabs and among Jews, eating together can be a very serious, solemn act. I could give you examples, but for time I'm not. Tonight, even between Arab and Jew, is a wonderful story. I'm not going to go down it tonight, of how the fact when two enemies came together, they sat at the table, and after they took food together, they came together and says, we're now united. The enmity's gone. It's what's called a fellowship meal. They were ratifying the covenant, the agreement, the solemn binding promise that they would not attack each other, that we're now reconciled, we're no longer enemies, we're going to keep our word. Can you see what they did? They swore an oath. They made a sacrifice. They put up the stone as a symbol, a witness. They sat down and they ate together. Now, what's all this got to do with us? That's an illustration of the gospel. Now, Laban and Jacob, I think, were both to blame. But you know, we are at enmity with God because we're sinners. We're sinners by nature and sinners by practice. How can you and I be reconciled to God? Well, it is God who takes the initiative. It's all on the basis of a covenant. The covenant of grace, we call it in theology. What do we mean? That God the Father and God the Son entered into a covenant even before this world was created. And in that covenant, God the Son promised, gave a solemn oath. And you know what it says in the book of Hebrews? Because God could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, by his own name. And God the Son covenanted that he would come into this world and he would become a man and God, God and man, that he would live a holy life and keep the law that you and I could never keep. And then he would go up Calvary's hill. You see, he's the lamb slain from before the foundation of this world. And there on that middle tree, he would suffer not only at the hands of men, at the hands of Satan, but he would suffer at the hands of God the Father, because God the Father would lay upon him the sins of all his people. That's the covenant Christ made, that he would come into the world to redeem. So that we sinners who were estranged, enmity with God, we could be brought into fellowship, reconciled, and sit and sup with God himself. And thank God the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled the conditions of the covenant. Do you know what it says in Hebrews? When he went to Calvary, he shed the blood of the everlasting covenant. And it's because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he died. And he cried, it is finished. He said, I've paid the price. I've satisfied divine justice for all who will trust me. You know, tonight, there's not one person needs to leave this building without knowing absolutely certain that you have eternal life and that you are going to heaven. Because salvation is not based on our great faith or our works or what we do. My hope of salvation is based on his oath and covenant, based on the blood that he shed. And God the Son and God the Father have promised that the man or the woman, the young person who cries to Christ for salvation, who confesses their sins and says, Lord, I'm guilty, I deserve wrath, but I'm trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, bore my sin on Calvary. Listen, there's salvation. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. What's your trust in tonight? You can be sure the Lord has saved you because the Lord has made a covenant, a covenant. I'll be very quick in the next one. The covenant, the marker of redemption, the stone of reconciliation. In chapter 35 and verse 14, you have the stone of restoration. Chapter 35, 14, Jacob set up a pillar. That's a stone in the place where he talked with him. That's God. Even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon. Poured oil. This is about 30 years after the stone of redemption when he came to Christ. And the sad thing is, for a period in his life, he got away from fellowship with the Lord. He was walking in disobedience. He wasn't walking in close fellowship with the Lord. And in chapter 35, God says, Jacob, get back to Bethel. And Jacob brings his family back. And he takes the false idols that the family had. And he buries them under a tree, so he's at a tree, an oak tree. And the Lord appears to him again. He says, Jacob, I will, I will, I will. I'll be with you. I'll bring you back. I'll bless your seed and so on. And of course, the promises were all linked with the coming Messiah. And Jacob leaves beside his backslidden state. And he's getting back into fellowship with God. That's the important thing. And what does he do to mark it? He takes a stone. This is another stone now. And he sets it up and he said, this is a marker. I'll never forget this day that the Lord restored me to close fellowship with himself. I wonder, could there be somebody here tonight and you were present 30 years ago or more when the main building was erected and you remember the stones there being unveiled? But let me ask you, are you as close to the Lord as you've always been? Believer, are you as close to the Lord? You know, tonight at the opening of this complex is a good time to rededicate yourself to the Lord. Jacob poured a drink offering on this stone. That was wine, grape juice, picture of the blood of Christ. But in Philippians, the drink offering, Paul said, I am poured out like a drink offering, Philippians 2. What did he mean? When Jacob poured the drink offering, he was remembering, of course, the sacrifice would come, but he's saying, Lord, here's my life. Here's my all. And tonight, that's a good thing for all of us to do in this new complex, to take this opportunity tonight and to say again afresh, before this meeting is over, Lord, at this historic marker in the history of this church and the history of my life, I'll remember the opening of the complex. But Lord, I want to make it a spiritual night when I pour my life to you. Here's my life. Take my life and let it be. And then do you notice he poured oil upon the stone, the Holy Spirit. Oh, the Holy Spirit would come upon us tonight. Come upon your minister, come upon this congregation, come upon all of us. The stone of restoration, the stone of redemption, the stone of reconciliation. But there's one stone that all of us will come to in verse 20 of Genesis 35. It's the stone of remembrance. What happens here? Do you see it? Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. That's the pillar of Rachel's grave. Unto this day. You know, every one of us can relate to this, whether you're a Christian or not. There'll be a time in your life when you'll know about this stone. Here's what happened. His beloved wife, Rachel, she's died giving birth. And he's heartbroken. And indeed, in this chapter, you'll find there are three graves. He stands at the grave of Deborah, an old elderly lady he had known all his life. He stands at the grave of his wife and mourns. And then just after that, in the last verses, he stands at the grave of his aged father. He's mourning. He's heartbroken. You know, we'll all have to stand at the funerals. And I think it's great that you've this complex that can be used for funerals. For friends to gather with the family of the bereaved and express their sympathy. And you can sit with them here in this hall, have refreshments together, and express sympathy. I'm glad that you've got the hall for that. That's a very important thing. After a funeral, to have good facilities to be with the family of those that mourn. But oh, he put a gravestone. The cold, icy fingers of death had reached into Jacob's family. And listen, it'll reach into your family. And you'll have to stand beside that loved one because death is a real part of life. Listen, every one of us is terminally ill in this room. Every one of us. Unless the Lord returns, every one of us will be laid in the grave. And he puts a stone. And you think of the loneliness and the emptiness and the sadness that follows the death of his dear wife. And it's interesting in verse 20, the stone was still there 400 years later when Moses wrote the book of Genesis. If you were to go over to 1 Samuel 10:2, a few hundred years after that, it was still there. And you know it's still there today. Certainly they still have the tomb of Rachel. That's a very sacred site to Jews and also Arabs. He put a stone to mark the grave. But you know what's interesting about it? And for time will not turn. You read chapter 48 later, and in verse 7, Jacob is an old man. Decades later, he's speaking to his son Joseph and his grandchildren. You know what he tells them? Sons, when I was coming out of Bethel, my wife Rachel died. I buried her. He talks to his grandchildren about his wife's grave. But then he goes on to say this, the angel of the Lord, that's Christ, he was with me all my life. He shepherded me. Here's the point I'm making about this stone marker that he put at his wife's grave. Jacob didn't put up that stone marker alone, because when he lifted that stone to put it as a marker, there was someone standing beside him, not seen by mortal eye, but the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life, was standing beside Jacob as his friend. How do people face death without Christ? Even the sorrow of the death of the loved one. There's no sadder sight for a minister or for any believer to see a man or a woman go out into eternity without Christ. Listen, it's only the Savior can take the dread out of death, the terror out of the tomb, the gloom out of the grave. Oh, the marker, the marker. The stone that marked redemption, reconciliation, restoration, remembrance. One last one. We're back to our text. Genesis 49, verse 24. Here's a stone, and I've called it just for the sake of memory, of recommendation. Recommendation. I call it that for this reason. He's speaking to his sons. He's about to die. He's about to die. He's giving them his blessing. He says, oh, boys, the mighty God of Jacob, the shepherd and the stone of Israel. It's as if Jacob is saying, boys, the stone of Israel, he led me. Oh, the stone of Israel, listen, boys, as I die and go out into eternity, I'm resting upon him. My shepherd's going to bring me all the way through death to glory. You know, he's concerned before he dies to make a recommendation to his sons and grandsons and great-grandchildren. You know the song William sometimes sang, tell your children and your children's children. Well, Jacob, he lived to see right down the generations. That song became true for Jacob. And he longed that his children and their children would know his Savior. Would know his Savior. And you know, that's why this hall is erected. This hall is erected, of course, for the use of the, how will I put it, older ones in the congregation. But it's erected, too, for the young people. And young people, again, remember the sacrifice that the older people have made in this congregation. Why? Because they want you to know the Lord. Young people, that's why this extension is built. They want you to come and know the Lord. The Sunday school will use this complex. What's the first question in the catechism the children learn? Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. We're back to the foundation, this, or the stone that I unveiled earlier. What's our purpose tonight? To glorify God. You know, you'll only know true enjoyment in life, in this life and in the life to come, when the aim of your life is to glorify God. Do you want to glorify him tonight? That's the only way to true joy. But listen, you can only begin to glorify God when you come to him, confessing your sin and trusting him as Savior. Have you ever done that? Have you ever called upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, God saved Jacob at Bethel, the first marker. He was a man running away from God. He didn't know his father's God, Isaac, or his grandfather Abraham's God, but God met him. And tonight can be an important marker in your life. You can meet God. You can be saved. And therefore, when you go out, you can go out and face death with the Lord Jesus Christ standing, your Redeemer, right beside you. Jacob, his life story, told by certain stones in his life. Five times you read of a stone in his life. But listen, as he came to die, he was trusting in the stone of Israel, that's the Lord. If we were to read your life story tonight, what markers would you have? Oh, tonight it's our prayer that you will come and know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and that tonight would be a great marker in your life. Because this God we're talking about is the God of Jacob. You know, Jacob wasn't a very pleasant character. The very name means heel grabber, schemer, manipulator. He would have been a thief. He had been a liar. And yet one day God said, Jacob, I'll be your God. And I'll bless you. That's grace. The salvation doesn't depend on what we've been. Salvation doesn't depend on how good we've been in the past. Salvation all depends on the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight we meet to give him glory, to glorify the Lord for the great salvation. To God be the glory, great things he hath done, the greatest of all when he sent the Son into this world to die for us.
Service. We're going to join in the singing of the final hymn on the order of service. Many times we just have three verses to this hymn, but there's a fourth verse, and it's on this tonight, and we're going to sing all four verses. And then afterwards, after we sing this hymn, Reverend Thomas Murray, our neighboring church in Cumber, delighted to have him with us tonight, good friend of this congregation. And he's here, and he's going to lead us in the closing prayer and give thanks. And then unless you're doing something with the catering or organizing, getting stuff out, if you just remain seated, you will be provided with tea. And remember the bag under your seat. Remember there's more. And so do keep that in mind. We'll stand and sing, to God be the glory, great things he hath done, so love to the world that he gave us his Son, a year that his life, an atonement for sin, opened the life gate that all may go in. The final hymn in the order of service, please.
because the car park is chock-a-block. You can't get out. So you'll have to stay for supper. Do stay and join with us, please. The last two verses. We thank you in the Lord's name and trust you'll continue to pray for us as we go on with phase two, and that there'll be more 13,000s coming to meet that need. We thank you in the Lord's name. We'll sing the final verse, then the Reverend Murray will come.
Father in heaven, we do thank thee this evening for thy presence with us. We thank you, Lord, tonight that we can not only say that thou hast maintained the cause in this part of thy vineyard, but Lord, we rejoice that thou hast blessed it and prospered it. We thank thee again this evening for this beautiful new complex. We thank thee even for thy hand upon those who labored in its building. We thank you, Lord, tonight at this opening service, that thy word has been opened up, and we rejoice tonight that we have seen Christ, our Redeemer. And our Father, our prayer tonight would be that even as Jacob met with thee at Bethel and his life was changed and transformed, Lord, that souls in this place tonight might meet with thee and know thy transforming grace in their lives. Lord, we pray that that might be the case, not only tonight, but in the days that lie ahead, whether it's meetings like this or meetings with the children or with the youth. And our Father, we thank thee tonight also for the offering, and we rejoice that our God does supply the need. We thank thee, our Father, for the challenge of thy word. We recognize that man's chief end is indeed to enjoy thee and also to glorify thee. And our Father, we pray that in all that we do, that we might bring glory to thy name. We thank thee for the food that has been provided, and we ask, Lord, that even now, that thou wouldst help us to eat and to drink to thy glory. And then, Lord, you would take us to our homes in safety. For this we pray in our Savior's precious name and for his glory. Amen.
As we said, if you'd be seated, and then afterwards you'll have opportunity to go round and see the building once the tea has been served.
can go upstairs into the church, the upstairs room in the church building. They will have their own refreshments and be looked after there, please. If the children, that's the small children, they want to go up there, please.